House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is March 21st, 2011. The first item on the agenda will open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3126. Representative Boone, please.
And co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 3126 modifies ORS 131325, which establishes the general rules of venue for criminal prosecutions. If an offense is committed within the state and it cannot be determined within which county the commission of the crime took place, the trial may be held in the county in which the defendant resides, or if the defendant has no fixed residence, the county in which the defendant is apprehended or to which they are extradited. House Bill 3126 will modify this statute as to the crime of failure to report as a sex offender to allow venue to be established in the county in which the defendant last reported as a sex offender, or the county in which the defendant is ultimately apprehended.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs, Co-Vice Chairs, and 10 other members. Happy spring, first day of spring. For the record, Deborah Boone, House District 32, and I am here today in support of House Bill 3126. This bill came to me as at the request of one of my four sheriffs, and I think everybody who has a little piece of Washington County might be on this bill, so the chair and some other people in the building. I don't have a lot of technical answers if you have technical questions, because I'm not an attorney, but I will do my best if you have any other questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Representative Boone? Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Okay. We don't have a fiscal yet, so we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3126. Next, we'll open a hearing on House Bill 3128.
And co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 3128 allows a person whose driving privileges have been suspended to terminate that suspension by voluntarily surrendering their driving privileges.
Representative Olson, you're on. And I also will announce right now that the work session of House Bill 2828 has been carried over until the 28th. Too many 28s here due to lack of a fiscal. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Andy Olson. I'm state representative out of the Albany area. Just to give you a heads up on what House Bill 3828 is all about. Currently, right now, if, and actually, Amy, you want to come on up too? Amy Joyce from Oregon Department of Transportation is here too, and she actually kind of helped craft some of the language for me with this too, so thank you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. Can I get my peanuts now on M&M's? So this was one of situations I had never really considered before, but when I was going out door to door last year, one of the individuals I stumbled onto, it was a older couple. The husband had just lost his driver's license due to a suspension as a referral from the medical, from the doctor. But in the process, what happened is that this insurance company that they had been with for years suspended and actually canceled their right to have insurance because they noticed that he was suspended. And it was medical reasons. So as a result of that, they've since been able to get that squared away. But the problem was that what happens with the individual who loses their driver's license, the only means that they have identified for that right now as a result of suspension through a physical, or I mean through a doctor, is that is the status for driving is suspended. So there's a couple of things that we had thought on that. One is that your insurance companies see that and they recognize that, okay, well, that individual is suspended, so we have to do something with insurance coverage. Second thing is that if that individual, for example, Representative Tomei, you and I got this in human services, if somebody was struggling with dementia or some other mental health or physical condition, they might go and just drive. Well, what's the repercussions if a police officer stops them and determines that their driving status is suspended? Well, my old agency with state police, the policy was that you issued them a citation for driving while suspended, given even what the circumstances were. So with that conversation and with that thought, Amy and some other folks from DMV as well as ODOT, we got together and we talked about crafting a concept that would change and shift something very simple for the driving status to just recognize it as being no driver's license versus that of status being suspended. And as a result of that, that would take care of the problem that this one constituent that I stumbled onto during the campaign season had. That's how simple this is.
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation representing DMV. Thank you. Understood. Nothing really to add. The department is neutral on the bill, but worked closely with Representative Olson on the language and would do exactly what he's represented.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate your help on that. Is any discussion, any questions, Representative Tomei?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative, help me understand. So the situation that you described with someone who has Alzheimer's or whatever, and they're stopped. So what would happen to them if they'd given up their driving privileges?
Mr. Chair, Representative Tomei, just clarify that you're asking the question in regards to if they did just surrender their driver's license right. voluntarily?
Right.
You have the QDID program, which is the Quit Driving Identification Card program that DMV has, and that's what they would receive in return. But their driving status would then be, from my understanding, would be recognized as being just no driver's license.
So what I'm not understanding is I think some people who have dementia often do get in the cars and drive, even without a driver's license. So what would the officer do? What would you do if you were still working as an officer and you stopped someone who had given up his driving privileges?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Tomei, it obviously now that we passed a bill, 3466, a couple years ago, that creates the database through the Oregon State Police for families to be able to enter in someone into that database. You know, first thing I would do is I'd run an inquiry to determine what's going on with the status. And if by chance that information was available because of what we did with 3466 a couple years ago, that would be my avenue to determine where I would go then with that individual, maybe with a phone call, or maybe just shut the car down right there, lock it up, and transport them if it was close. That doesn't happen all the time, but that's one avenue. The other is just to try to investigate a little bit further with the driver to determine exactly what and who they are and who maybe I could contact on their behalf, because hopefully, you know, you start recognizing what the problem is through this, and that's how you would respond.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative, the other difference would be suspended is a fairly serious violation, where just not having a license is a much lower level.
Really?
Yeah. Because suspended is they've taken it away for a reason,
right.
And not having one is different. So a person who would give that up if they were driving, it wouldn't be a serious offense.
Oh, interesting. Thank you.
Representative Schaff.
So then the benefit to that senior couple is the spouse that still had a driver's license wouldn't lose their insurance either. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schaffler, that's correct.
Other questions? Thank you. Close the public hearing on House Bill 3128. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3324.
And co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 3324 requires a person convicted of the combination of driving under the influence of intoxicants and a number of other crimes, including murder, manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide, assault in the first degree, or aggravated vehicular homicide, if those occur at the same time or in the same course of criminal conduct, to install an ignition interlock device for a duration of 5 years after the ending date of the suspension or revocation caused by the conviction if the person was convicted of those crimes. This would also apply to individuals who had been given a suspension for driving under the influence of intoxicants, which is lifetime, translated to 10 years, had had their license reinstated and then had reviolated.
Okay, thank you. Doug Harkleroad and Ann Pratt, please.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker and Chair Krieger. My name is Ann Pratt, for the record. I'm a member of Governor's Advisory Committee on DUII, Crime Victims United, and Mothers Against Drunk Driving. All three of these organizations support House Bill 3324. Last session, I requested lifetime revocations for those who drink and drive, or drug and drive, and kill, and were convicted of the criminal homicides mentioned a few minutes ago. House Bill 3324 is the portion of that bill that I had to delay until this session, calling for longer ignition interlock requirements for these offenders when they do petition the court and are granted their Oregon driver's license back. These offenders are included in House Bill 3324, along with the other lifetime revocated offenders, the felony four-time DUII, and also the three-time misdemeanor, lifetime DUII. These are the most dangerous DUI offenders. They're high risk, repeat, and dangerous. Some of them are, they are actually the worst of the worst. The felony DUI law became effective in January of 2002. The first of these dangerous repeat offenders are eligible next year, 2012, to petition the courts. There will be 83 in 2002, and 127 in 83 in 2012 and 127 in 2013, according to DMV. It is unknown what percentage of these offenders will actually petition the courts. Please see page 2 on my testimony. It gives a DMV explanation of how these offenders and the dates that they come off of the revocation. Under current law, this felony DUI offender, if granted a reinstatement, will receive the same ignition interlock requirement as a DUI offender who has only two DUIs, which is only 2 years. Felony DUI offenders, as you know, often have many more than four DUIs on their record. House Bill 3324 would require them to install an ignition interlock for 5 years. In 2014, the third-time misdemeanor lifetime offenders will begin to become eligible also if they have their license reinstated. These offenders also would only have a two-year requirement. It won't be until 2020 that those who are convicted of the DUI homicides will begin to be eligible, since we only passed that in 2009. NHTSA and MAD report that 50 to 75% of suspended drivers drive anyway. Suspended DUI drivers drive anyway. There is no guarantee that they're not also driving impaired. House Bill 3324, by requiring these offenders to install an ignition interlock for 5 years, can retrain their risky behavior and allow them to carry on, go to work, and carry on with their lives without endangering the rest of us. I believe it is a reasonable and obtainable length of time, but still long enough to make a difference. Ignition interlocks are proven to work. 80% of interlocked offenders themselves are in favor of ignition interlocks and believe them fair. Also, offenders themselves are responsible for the cost. It's the virtual probation officer riding beside them in the front seat. This bill is very simple. We are asking that these dangerous, high-risk, and often repeat offenders be required to install an ignition interlock for 5 years. 5 years is not too much to ask for in return for the public safety, and it gives us all a better chance at life. Please support House Bill 3324. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harper.
Chairs Barker and Krieger, members of the committee. My name's Doug Harkelrode. I'm a retired Lane County District Attorney for the record, and I represent the Oregon Anti-Crime Alliance. The Oregon Anti-Crime Alliance supports House Bill 3324 as part of the larger issue of using ignition interlocks to save lives and reduce injuries on our highways. And you've already heard testimony about House Bill 3075. I testified about that. I shan't repeat what I said today. All I really want to, and Ms. Pratt's done a great job of saying all the reasons why this bill's a good idea. We need to stop the slaughter, to the best of our ability, on the highways. 115 deaths last year attributable to DUIs and thousands of injuries. And so this bill targets a very specific, dangerous population who's already hurt somebody, basically, for the most part, or they've had their license suspended for an incredible period of time. And an interlock device allows somebody to drive sober. And that's the really, to sort of talk like my kid, the really cool thing about this bill. That's all I have.
Doug, what's the? Can you tell us about the device as far as everybody knows how it records and whether there, if there were violations during that five-year period? Do we need to be looking at the fact that the person stopped that they were violating? Do we need to look at that as far as their, you know, their future?
Chair Barker, Chair Krieger, members of the committee. The way the device actually works, it's wired into the car. It's about the size of a cell phone. And when somebody gets into the car, they have to blow in it. And then and you can set it so it'll register whatever alcohol blood level you want it to be, 0.02, 0.03, whatever. And then there are rolling retests. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to blow while they're driving, but what it means is that after whatever period of time you want to set it for, and they're out there driving around, that they have to pull over, they have to stop their car, and then they have to do the rolling retest. And the purpose for that is so when they're sober, they get in the car, then they don't just start drinking and while they're driving. It doesn't stop the car, the rolling retest. That would be very dangerous, but it may flash the lights or honk the horn to draw attention to the vehicle. So that's basically how they work. The enforcement piece of this is that every, I use 60 days, it could be longer, it could be shorter, they have to go into the provider of the interlock device and have the device checked to see whether or not they have had a failure where they blew and it was, the car wouldn't start. That's an important thing, and that should be reported to somebody or some agency who can then do something about that. And in a perfect world, we would have, in my mind, the Oregon State Police doing that function. The interlock device provider would report it to the state police or to DMV, but then they have to have the authority to do something. This bill doesn't do all of those things, but that, in a perfect world, should be done.
Representative Olson. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And question for you. Appreciate your testimony. How many other states have a similar program with the five-year IID tied in with a DUI and these crimes?
Chair Barker and Chair Krieger, Representative Olson, I tried to find that out. Are you saying a similar bill to this?
Exactly.
I tried to get some information and from Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and I wasn't able to. But I am continuing to check, and I will try to get that, and then I will get it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Hicks. Doug, something I've been wondering for a while is, how did a lifetime suspension become 10 years? Could you provide some background on that?
Chair Barker and Krieger and Representative Hicks, can I turn that one over to Ms. Pratt? She actually knows this better than I do.
Chair Barker, Chair Krieger, Representative Hicks, if the person doesn't reoffend and they basically pardon the phrase, keep their nose clean for 10 years. After it goes into effect, the revocation goes into effect, they can petition the court to get their license back. And the judge makes that decision based on criteria like the violence of the crime, the past and present history, their past and present history, criminal history, and some other factors. And they can order that person's license restored. And my concern with these offenders is that since statistics show that 50 to 75% of DUI offenders who are suspended drive anyway, it's really likely that many of these offenders have been driving during this 10-year period where their license has been revocated. So by requiring them to have a 5-year ignition interlock, if they have been driving intoxicated, or they would have the ignition interlock, like it says, a virtual probation officer sitting in the front seat, it still gives them the opportunity of changing their behaviors and not endangering the rest of us. And it's not too much to ask to have them install the interlock. Did I answer your question?
Chair Barker, Chair Krieger, and Representative Hicks, members of the committee, to specifically speak to your question about how did a lifetime revocation become 10 years, that was a compromise, as we see happens here in the legislature in order to get things done. What the compromise was the burden is now on the offender to come in and say, please give me my license back. To the court after 10 years. That was the compromise to move it out.
Any further questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 3324 and open a work session on House Bill 3238. Mr. Knott.
Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee. House Bill 3238, as initially submitted, directs the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission to reclassify felony animal abuse in the first degree as a crime category 6. Proponents have offered a -1 amendment. This -1 amendment would similarly classify aggravated animal abuse in the first degree as a crime category 6. So this is now both of them if that amendment is adopted. The rationale for that being that aggravated animal abuse, which involves maliciously killing or knowingly or intentionally torturing an animal, was not considered to be less serious than animal abuse in the first degree, and the bill as submitted would have created that discrepancy. There is no projected revenue impact. There is, however, a projected fiscal impact, and I believe that's been distributed to all members.
Discussion.
I move the -1s into House Bill 3238.
Representative Krieger moves the -1s into House Bill 3238. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
I'm sorry, that's what I changed.
Okay. There is a fiscal. So if we move this, we'll be moving in two ways and means. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3238 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3238 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. Is there any discussion?
Is that a recommendation, Mr. Chair?
I think we could recommend approval.
Pass.
Yeah, I think that would help.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion?
Call the roll, please.
Representative
Nolan? Yes.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shoffler?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Wand?
Aye.
Representative Lisman?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett?
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Is there any further business coming before the committee today?
No.
Adjourned.
Word.